Thank you, Jesus, for your love for me. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace so free. I lift my voice to praise your name. I'll praise you again and again. You're my everything. You are my God. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for me. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace so free. I lift my voice to praise your name. I'll praise you again and again. You're my
Hallelujah. I thank God this morning that he's my God. Hallelujah. I thank God that he's my God. I thank God that my God is not money, or that it's not position or authority, but he is my God. And because he is my God, I don't need worry about the coronavirus or the Heineken virus or the Budweiser virus. Any kind of virus, we don't need worry about, because he is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord, our healer. Hallelujah. He is our protector. Amen. He guards us from things such as these. Church, there is healing in the blood of Jesus. So if you would but plead the blood upon you, over your family, over your co-workers, over your workplace, wherever you go, it will not come nigh thee. Just as I believe it was Lily who quoted her scripture this morning, 1,000 may fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Yeah. Keep your trust and your hope in the Lord God Almighty, church. Amen. We got nothing to worry about. Amen. The people of God should not be running to Costco trying to buy up every last piece of toilet paper. I need toilet paper in my house too. Jesus' name. Unless you're going to buy for the whole church, you can come donate. Amen. Amen. But we ought not to be so ha'alulu about it. Yeah, we don't need to be worried. We don't need to be afraid, because we know who sits on the throne. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. I'm just thankful this morning, as Pastor had said, me and Honey Boo Boo celebrated 1 month yesterday. 1 month of marriage. Hallelujah. And it's been the best month of my life. Amen. I am thankful. You know, every time we go to the conference, especially, all the pastors, they're always saying, you know, I thank God for my wife this, thank God for my wife that. And now I cannot wait for this coming conference where I can say, I thank God for my wife. Hallelujah. Because there is something that I've learned and that I've discovered just in this, just 1 month of being married, is that many people pray. Amen. Many people pray for you, and they seek the Lord on your behalf. But one thing that I've learned in this month that is that I don't know of anyone else's prayer that is as potent as that of your spouse. Amen. Your companion, your partner, the one God appointed just for you. And when I was studying for the word, I would call and ask her to pray for me. And man, just having her to pray over me, I just felt peace about it. It's so hard to explain that I wasn't stressing, I wasn't worrying, not that I do, but I just felt so much peace and so much power and so much anointing in the prayers of my wife over me. So God bless you, Honey Boo Boo, down there teaching the kids. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. We're going to go to the book of Exodus this morning. Exodus chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 1 through 10. If you have a hard time finding the book of Exodus, we're going to go right into a delivery service this morning. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Man, you know, and I implore you and encourage you all to pray. Amen. Yes, pray one for the other. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your family. Pray for your friends. Pray for the salvation of your loved ones. But I encourage you and I implore you, please pray for your pastors. Please, please pray for your pastors. There's one thing that I've discovered in my short time of being a pastor and preaching the word is that the moment you sit down to study, the enemy is already at work, trying to distract you and trying to throw you off focus. Because as a minister of the gospel, you have to sift through all these different sermons. You know, you have what you want to preach. Then you have what you think the people want to hear. And then you think about this and think about that. Oh, stuff's going on in the world with coronavirus. Maybe we ought to preach about healing. Or we have to sift through all of that, get through all the noise, and find out exactly what it is that God wants us to talk about. And if you would just understand the level of spiritual attack that comes upon those who minister the gospel, please, I implore you, pray. Pray for your pastors. Pray for your leaders. I mean, if you want God to take the church to a whole nother level, pray. Hallelujah. If you want the praise and worship to go to a whole nother level, pray. Hallelujah. You want your pastors and the ministers of the gospel to preach with power and with authority as they have never done before, pray. Hallelujah. You want healing in your life, pray. You want our country to be great again, pray. Hallelujah. Amen. So please pray for your pastors and for your leaders in the church. Amen. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Shall we rise for the reading of the word? Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, and the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Heavenly Father, Lord God, you are so good and great. Greatly and greatly to be praised are you, Father God. Lord, we love you this morning, Father, and we give you honor and glory, for we know that you are in control. We know that you still sit on the throne, Father God. We know, Father, that you are the master of the universe. You created all things, and all things belong to you, O God, and you have authority over it all. So, Father God, we pray that you would just have your way, Lord. Let your will be done in this place this morning. Anoint my lips and my tongue, Father, to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ, to preach the word, Father God, unto your people, Father. Let us hear exactly what we need this morning, Father. Block out every hindrance and distraction, I pray, in the name of Jesus, Father, and let your people be blessed, I pray, in Jesus' name, and let God's people say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So in preparing for today's message, as I said, there was a lot of sifting going on. Had about three different sermons running around inside my head. Okay, one of is this. So I spent a week reading up and studying up and preparing for one message. And in prayer, looking down at what I had written down, I said, oh, nope, that's not it. Okay, throw that away. Pray some more. Okay, oh, get something else. Okay, prepare, read. Nope, not that one either. It wasn't until yesterday afternoon when God dropped something in my spirit to bring forth this morning. And the title of the message today is something that I heard a lot growing up in school, and it's pay attention. Amen. Pay attention. Whatever has your attention, church, has your focus. Whatever has your attention has your focus. Whatever has your attention will have your time. It'll have your energy. It'll have your abilities, and it'll have your resources. In other words, whatever has your attention has you. Whatever has your attention has you. That's why we need to be careful about what and who you give your attention to. Thank you, Jesus. If you give worry your attention, then worry is going to have you. If you give fear your attention, then fear will have you. If you give anger and hate and depression and anxiety, and if you give your attention to debt and to your rocky relationships and all these different things, then those things will have you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In this day and age, we've become so backwards in our thinking. So much so that we've allowed our priorities to be all over the place, and they're so out of whack that we've lost control of our lives and ourselves. We become so fixated on all the wrong that's going on in our lives and in the world, that we fail to realize as long as we keep our attention and our focus on negative things will continue to happen. Oh, talk to me, somebody. Hallelujah. If your mind is continuously on worldly things, worrying about worldly things and thinking about worldly things, about worldly treasures and worldly pleasures and worldly woes, if you're constantly thinking on that, if you're constantly giving your attention to such things, then you will begin to seek worldly solutions for worldly problems. Oh, Jesus. Then you wonder why stuff no get better. This thing going on with the coronavirus, everybody is so afraid. And they're so terrified of this virus, sad to say, even Christians. So worried about, oh my God, I gotta go doctor. I gotta make sure I get hand sanitizer and toilet paper. Okay, first of all, I couldn't understand. Oh my gosh, get one virus going around the world. Oh, I better go buy toilet paper. I mean, okay, I may understand to the point where they figure out maybe Matt's going to shut down. But Matt's released a statement already that the service is going to go on uninterrupted. And even if Mattson gave a statement saying, oh, it will go interrupted, who is our provider? Hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh is our provider. Amen. We're not going to seek a worldly solution to this problem because we're going to keep our eyes and our minds stayed on heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So if you continue to worry about worldly stuff, you'll begin to seek worldly solutions for those problems. And again, wondering why things don't get better. Wondering why every endeavor you begin doesn't seem to work out. Why it seems like you take one step forward only to take two steps back. Hallelujah. Why you find no satisfaction in life. Nothing seems to satisfy you, and nothing seems to make you happy. You're just dry. How you doing? Good. How your day going? Good. How the wife think? Good. So dry. No life. No satisfaction. Wonder why no more joy. Wonder why no more happiness. Wonder why there is no peace, worrying about all these things. But doesn't the Bible say, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee? Isaiah 26:3. Doesn't the Bible say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths? Proverbs 3:5-6. Doesn't the Bible say, seek ye first, not second, not third, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all these things may be added unto you. The reason why you aren't where you want to be is because God does not have your attention. Oh, help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. The reason why we maybe haven't heard from God in a while is because we're not paying attention. Why things not really working out? God no more our attention. But I came to church this morning to tell the people of God and myself, pay attention. Start paying attention. Not to what's going on the news, but to what's going on right in here. Hallelujah. Open up your Bible. This right here, this is not fake news. Hallelujah. Get a lot of fake news on TV today and in newspapers and magazines and the tabloids and whatnot. This is not fake news. This is nothing but truth. Hallelujah. The Bible, it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is what should govern our lives, not what we see on the TV. Hallelujah. Pay attention to what God is saying, not to what the newscasters are saying. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We got to start paying attention, church. We got to shift our focus and get our minds off of the problem and on the problem solver. We need to set our affections on things above, not on things below. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Church, God's plans for you are good, they're acceptable, and they're perfect. Hallelujah. His thoughts for you are of peace and not of evil. Hallelujah. He wants to bless you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to pour out his spirit upon you. He wants to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire to empower you to do what he's called you to do, but he can't do it if we won't pay attention. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We got to give him our attention, church. We got to give him our attention. And then what we'll come to realize is that if God has our attention, then God has us. Hallelujah. Whatever has your attention has you, then give God your attention so he can have you. Hallelujah. And if we are under his wings and in his arms, church, we got nothing to worry about. We got nothing to be afraid of because we know all things work together for the good to them who are the called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If God has us, then no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. Hallelujah. If God has you, then you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Hallelujah. God is waiting on us, church. He's waiting on us to give him our full and undivided attention. Hallelujah. How else are we going to learn? When I was in high school, long time ago, you know, this is way back when. If you in school sat there in the classroom, a place of learning, you get the teacher standing up before you who spent so much time preparing their syllabus to teach you so that you can learn of that particular subject in that class that you're in. But if you're there with an attitude like, I'm over and I don't like learn, then it's all for naught. You're not going to learn anything if you're not paying attention. I did junk on tests because I never pay attention. Likewise, if we want to, quote unquote, pass the tests of life out there, then while we're here, we need to pay attention. Hallelujah. Amen. So pay attention, church. God is waiting on us to pay attention. Now look what it took for Moses to give God his attention. Yeah. Verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Okay, now at this point in Moses' life, God had not yet used him to bring forth miracles and to perform signs and wonders there in Egypt. He did not yet use Moses to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. He did not yet use Moses to part the Red Sea. He did not yet give Moses the Ten Commandments. He did not yet use Moses to bring forth water out of the rock. He did not yet use Moses to turn the bitter waters sweet. He did not yet use Moses to lift up the serpent in the desert that all those who would look upon it would be healed. No, this was shepherd boy Moses. In Midian, keeping the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. For 40 years, doing the same thing, day in and day out, until everything became routine for Moses. Wake up in the morning, tend to the flock. Check out, make sure everything all good. Lead them to where the grass is so that they can eat. Lead them to the water. Watch out for the predators. Take care of the sheep. That's all Moses knew, was to take care of the sheep. See, that we woke up and did the same thing day in and day out. It became routine. Have you ever done the same thing over and over again until it became routine? Where you just find yourself doing the same old thing without realizing it because now it's become a habit. You know, Bible reading and prayer can sometimes turn into a habit. instead of it being because we want to. Hallelujah. But we need to not become weary in well-doing. Amen. For we shall reap if we faint not. Now we must not allow ourselves to let that fall into a routine. Oh, wake up in the morning. Oh, gotta pray. Oh, gotta read. No, it should be waking up. Thank you, Jesus, for another day of life. Thank you, Lord, that I have an opportunity to read my Bible. I'm free in this country to read my Bible and pray and to express my faith in you and to tell people about this great God that I serve. Thank you for the roof over my head, food on my table, clothes on my back, shoes on my feet. Thank you that I woke up in a bed with blankets and a pillow. Thank you that I have food in my cupboard. Thank you that my icebox is not empty. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my car. Thank you for my family. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We cannot allow ourselves to fall into a routine with God. A strange fire. Ah, that's another message. Let me move on. We do the same thing over and over again. It becomes a routine. You know, when you live a life of sin, sin becomes routine. It becomes a habit. We do it without realizing it because we do it so much that there's no conviction anymore. It just becomes part of the routine. Part of my routine every day after work was going to the store and picking up on 12-pack. That was part of my routine. No matter what, I knew what time I was going to get off. I knew what store I was going to go to. I knew what brand. I bought it and I did what I did because it became a routine. It became a habit. And because I did it so much, I had no conviction. I never cared. I flaunted it. Hallelujah. But thank God for deliverance. Amen. Thank God for his delivering power. That he broke me out of that routine. And he set my feet on the rock. The solid rock. Amen. Hallelujah. But stuff can sometimes become routine. And what was part of Moses' routine, again, was to lead the flock. Again, lead them to grass to graze and to water to drink. And one day, while doing his same old thing, minding his own business, doing his routine, he wasn't doing anything special. He wasn't doing anything out of the ordinary. He was doing what he always did, and he wasn't expecting anything unexpected to happen. But I want to tell you, church, that oftentimes God will use something unexpected to birth his purpose in your life. Hallelujah. He'll use unexpected people. He'll use unexpected situations and unexpected experiences to throw you off your routine and get you to shift your focus. Amen. How many times have you just been minding your own business, doing your own thing, then all of a sudden, life throws you a curveball? Something just happened, just out of the blue, man. Something unexpected happens. If it's not this, it's that. And if it's not that, it's this. You're just blindsided by this and that and the other. And usually, the first instinct is worry. What I gonna do now? Oh, no. And when we worry, we then quickly try to formulate in our own minds how to counteract this unexpected situation, try to counteract all the wrong that's going on at that particular time. But when we do that, we fail to realize that we are going through these tests and trials. It's not meant to break us, but it's meant to make us. Hallelujah. God will never, hear me, church, God will never give you more than you can handle. Never. He'll never, ever, ever give you more than you can handle. So whatever situation you might be going through right now, however bleak it may be, however impossible it may be, the very fact that you're facing this great trial is already proof that you're going to make it through, because God never gives us more than we can handle. Hallelujah. So no worry, church. Be happy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He'll never give us more than we can handle. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And I'm telling you right now, church, that way is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That way is Jesus Christ. He said it himself, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. Hallelujah. See, sometimes God will allow some things to happen in our lives to get us to realize that what we're focusing on is the wrong stuff. And we got to shift our focus and stop paying attention to what's going on here and pay attention to what's going on up there. Hallelujah. Get our eyes and our minds stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. We don't have to focus on the need. We don't have to focus on the problem. We don't have to focus on whatever situation it is that we might be going through at that particular time. All we got to do is look to the hills, from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Don't you worry about the need. Focus on the provider. Don't you worry about the sickness. Focus on your healer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Verse number 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. You see, God knows exactly what it takes to get our attention. Hallelujah. He knows exactly how to get our attention. In the case of Moses, it was a burning bush. In my instance, it was crippling anxiety. So afraid of death. I felt like every little thing I felt in my body. Oh my gosh, I have a heart attack. Oh no, I'm gonna have a stroke. Oh no, my head sore, brain aneurysm. Oh my God. Worrying about this. I'm serious. And it was such crippling anxiety that I could not even leave my room. I would call out sick from work because I cannot take it. I'm just so fearful of dying. Oh. But God is good and faithful. He reminded me in his word that he has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. And I came to the point where after I gave my life back to the Lord, I said, you know what, Lord, if it's my time, it's my time. I know where I'm going, and I don't have to be afraid of it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So he got my attention with that. How did he get your attention? Does he still need to get your attention? Hallelujah. He knows exactly what it's going to take. Amen. But we need to start paying attention before what it takes to get our attention is something that is just so hurtful and tragic. Sad to say, sometimes that's what it takes for us to wake up and give him our attention. For Moses, it was a burning bush. Now, to some, this might not seem anything out of the ordinary or fancy. I mean, bushes catch fire all the time. Especially in the desert where it's hot and dry. But it wasn't just that the bush was on fire that got Moses' attention. It was because the bush was on fire, but not consumed. Hallelujah. On fire, but not consumed. You gotta excuse me, church, but I gotta stop and give him a praise, because I've had stuff on fire in my life, but it wasn't consumed. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, if that's ever happened to you, that you've had stuff on fire in your life, but wasn't consumed. Amen. Hallelujah. Something that you think, oh man, I should have lost my mind when that thing happened. I should have reacted in my flesh when that thing happened. It was on fire, but it wasn't consumed. Marriage might have been on the rocks, but it wasn't consumed. My kids might have been out there doing the things of the world on fire, but not consumed. Hallelujah. Why? God's hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For me, again, with anxiety and fear, it had to get my attention. But the devil is a liar. Kick him in the fire. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I had so much stuff on fire in my life. More bills than I had money. Oh, help us, Lord. More bills than had money. But somehow, after giving my tithes, what once 100% of my check couldn't cover, 90% did. And when it was all said and done, I even had a little bit left over. Man, God is good, church. And his math and our math not really coalesce. But I'm not going to trust in my math. Hallelujah. I'm going to trust God's math. Amen. 90%, church, covered what 100% of my check couldn't. Only God. Only God. Hallelujah. Stuff on fire but not consumed. The reason why the bush was on fire but not consumed was because God was in the midst of the fire. Hallelujah. My mind runs back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hallelujah. In the fiery furnace, flames on all sides. They were thrown into a fire that was 7 times hotter than it should have been. A fire so hot that it killed those who threw them in. On fire, but not consumed. Because then when they looked in, they said, I thought we didn't throw 3 guys in there. But now I'm looking and I see 4. And one of them looks like the Son of God. Hallelujah. My goodness, church. If God is in the midst of the fire, it may be on fire, but it ain't consumed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That fire, amen, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of that fire, the Bible says their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. Hallelujah. So whatever situation you might be going through right now that's on fire but not consumed, when you make it through, there will be no evidence that you even went through such a tough and trying thing, because you might have been on fire but not consumed, because God was with you through it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If that don't get your attention, I don't know what will. Hallelujah. So God used the burning bush to get Moses' attention. And then this is what got me. Verse 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Moses made up in his mind to stop what he was doing and give his attention to this bush burning with fire. He left what was his normal to see something that was abnormal. Hallelujah. He left his ordinary to see something that was extraordinary. Hallelujah. He took his focus off of the natural and put it on the supernatural. Hallelujah. Moses made the decision to turn aside and see. To see what God was doing. Hallelujah. See, this is God. This is what God is trying to get us to do, church. To turn aside and see. Hallelujah. To turn from sin. To turn from self. To turn from whatever it is that may be hindering our walk and relationship with Him, causing us to miss out completely on everything that He has for us. He wants us to shift our focus, church. To start paying attention. Hallelujah. It's time to give God our attention, church. Hallelujah. It's time for us to turn aside and see. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Then it says this in verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, here am I. It was only after Moses turned aside to see that God made himself known out of the midst of the bush. Only after Moses shifted his focus did God speak. Only after Moses gave God his attention did God call out to him. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to get you to see this morning, church, that in order for God to really move and really work in your life, he must have your attention. Hallelujah. If you want God to reveal himself to you in a way that he has never before, give him your attention. If you want to be used by God like you've never been used before, then give God your attention. If you want to be who God created you to be and do what he created you to do, then give God your attention. Hallelujah. We got to start paying attention, church. God called out to Moses and revealed his plan and purpose for Moses' life, which, as we know, was to go and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of the place of their bondage, and to become their leader, to lead them out, lead the nation, and to be their spiritual leader. Now, we know all that transpired after that. He led the people of Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land. Hallelujah. Now, imagine what would have happened if Moses chose not to turn aside and see. If he did not give God his attention. If he just looked at the burning bush and said, "Ah," and continued on. The fate of 2 million people rested on whether or not Moses would turn aside and see. Oh, Jesus. What would have happened if he didn't give God his attention? I wonder whose fate rests on us, church. I wonder whose fate rests on us. It's not just about you. It's not just about me. It's about all those who will be impacted by our life and our walk with the Lord. Not by anything that we do on our own per se, but it's what God does through us because we chose to give him our attention. It's about all the souls that will be won to Christ because of your example. All the people and all the lives who you will touch because of the life you live. Our pastor is a prime example. Everywhere she goes, somebody know her. Somebody's heard about her. She's touched so many people. I believe I can speak for us all that if it was not for God's work through her, many of us would not be here this morning. But because she turned aside to see, because she chose to give God her attention, she is the angel of this house. Hallelujah. Our senior pastor who is not just our pastor, she's a pastor's pastor. So many people, so many different pastors and bishops come to her for advice. So many people in the community come to her because they know who she serves. Shiro Takada, one Buddhist, come to her and ask her for bless his business. Bless the land before they build. Bless the building after they build. Bless the workers and bless this and bless that. He called her for everything. Why? Because of her example. Hallelujah. Because of God's hand upon her. Because of God's work in her and through her. All because she turned aside to see. All because she chose to pay attention. Church, I encourage you this morning, start paying attention to God. Hallelujah. And if you already are, pay more attention. Hallelujah. There's no such thing as paying too much attention to God. Hallelujah. Give him your time. Give him your energy. You know, we spend so much of our time and energy and resources and money doing what we want to do. But I tell you, there's a greater satisfaction when we give God our all. Yeah, time spent with God is the best time spent. Hallelujah. Giving unto the Lord is better than giving to anything or anyone else. Not saying no give to anybody. I'm open to receive, if anything. Amen. But start paying attention to God, church. And watch how his hand is just ever upon you. Watch how much greater, hallelujah, you'll be able to do for the Lord and for the ministry. Watch God move in your life. I promise you, church. It's going to be a wild ride. But if God is with us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. So pay attention, church. God is good. And all the time. In Jesus' name, amen.